If you'd open your Bible, if you would, to the book of Revelation and chapter 4. Stick with what you know. Now, in our study of the first epistle of John, and you would recall in our study, as we've been doing it, and the Spirit of God is busy driving home, because they were listening to all kinds of messages, having all kinds of interaction that would rob them of the simplicity and the solid awesomeness of their relationship to Christ. And that was a problem. And therefore, to drive home, his first epistle of John is seeking to drive home so that the believer is surely sure as they go down the corridor of time that they're on the right path, in the right way, for the right reasons, and the right destination. And they're going down that corridor carefully as they do. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, as we do. Now, so therefore you need to have a title that calibrated for testing. And the word, Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. And as we come to the end, chapter 4 and verse 11, to the end of the great throne judgment, just throne, God sitting on the throne. Verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. So God, the word pleasure, the word will, God, they're all, you're worthy. God is worthy. God is the standard. God is the standard. The holy, God's holy, happy, heavenly person is the standard of righteousness and life. He's the standard. He's worthy. Remember, the word worthy is to balance the scale, the old-fashioned scale. Again, the old-fashioned scale. My father used to watch him in the work, Gable Lines, Boston. They'd weigh the silver and the gold. They were going to take and make a teapot or a lamp or some chandelier, and they'd weigh the silver, because that's the amount of silver they're going to use in making the lamp or something, and they'd weigh it. And you'd have to make sure the scale balances. You want to make sure, because you want to weigh an accurate, you want the scale to be calibrated for accuracy. When you weigh yourself sometime, don't you try to hope the scale is accurate, maybe? You weigh yourself, and you stand the scale, and you hope it's the right thing. You take your blood pressure. Don't you assume, wouldn't you like to know, that it's accurate, as much as you can know? Accurate, that's what you do. God, we have to be calibrated so that we understand everything around us and our old nature in us. We have to have a standard in here in order that's accurate so that we know. That's what we're doing. Now, so the word worthy. The Lord Jesus Christ is worthy. God is worthy. And you know in chapter 5, as you go in chapter 5, it's going to be mentioned again and again and again that God, in his wonderful grace, is worthy, 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 is worthy. And you're going to keep reading it over in I'll tell you when you go. Verse 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, he's worthy. Who is worthy? He is worthy. Verse 9, chapter 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, language, and people, and nations. God is worthy. He's the standard. Jesus Christ is the standard. God in Christ, the standard. He's the standard. So now, having said that, now, what are we going to do? Get it, put it together. The scriptures, God's word, the Bible in front of you, I hope, is the word of God. The subject of the word of God is the gospel. The subject of the gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ. According to the scriptures, he has died. According to the scriptures, he is buried. According to the scriptures, he's risen. According to the scriptures, God's word, the good news is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is all about God in Christ, who's worthy, period, from Genesis to Revelation. It isn't about history. It has history. It has everything you need. But the centerpiece, the good news, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22, the good news is God. It's all about God. God has given us his word to understand how to handle and know the invisible God in whose presence we are. So, having said that little bit, so God has given us. So now, you know, go with me please over in your Bible, over to the book. Oh, we'll do two things, just you know all these things anyway. Chapter 5 of the Gospel of John. The Bible, so it's all, it's the good news. The Lord Jesus Christ is the subject of the good news. He is the good news. John chapter 5, remember, to the Jews, picking up in the context, verse 38, and you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him you believe not. They were rejecting Christ. So his answer to them, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. It's all about God. It's God-centered. It's all about Christ, he said. All about me. Wonderfully so. Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24. And you may pick up, please, you read it, but may pick it up just to tie it together in verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, Old Testament. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning, underline, himself. Slide over, as you know, in verse 44. And he said unto them, at his resurrection, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, and then underlined in your mind concerning me. It's all about me. So it's all about God. You read, that's what I told you, 1,000 times. You look at reading God to remind you of the presence of God. And you look at the presence of God, how am I going to understand? Back to the Word of God. Back to the Word of God to get the presence of God. Now, so having said that a little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, in the light of the Scriptures. So the gospel, the good news, our Lord Jesus Christ. The problem, over to the book of Galatians, and Galatians in chapter 1. In Galatians in chapter 1, picking up, if I may, and you would recall, going, if I can, to verse 6. Chapter 1, verse 6, God is helping us understand. The gospel is the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the center. Chapter 1, Galatians, verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, another good news, which is not another. That isn't good news. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ, the good news. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed, and drive home the nail. Verse 9. And as we said before, I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. So there's no question, God. No question. That's the trouble. Too many different messages, too many different things, too many different thoughts. And we don't lock on to the, you need to lock on to the original God's recipe, God's word. What did God say? That's the devil's trick, isn't it? Genesis 3:1. Hath God said? How do you know God said that? Well, I read it. How do you know he said it? How do you know? Question. Keep questioning. Doubt. Deny. And doubt, where does doubt take you? To deny. I don't believe there's a God. How'd you get there? Well, first I doubted. Then I deny. No God. And that's a dumb thing to say. I say it again to myself. It is a wonderful thing that God, all the evidence of human history, all the evidence of creation, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth your wonderful handiwork. Everything God says you are, and us human beings that are made of the dust of the ground, I dare to challenge you. We dare to say there's no God when we end up in dust in the ground and bury us. You bury our buildings, you bury our wisdom, you bury our knowledge, you bury everything. It all disappears. And we dared to say, God, there's no God. We dared. Psalm 14. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. A fool says that. And that's where we are. And that's so set, my dear friends. It isn't even a question. That's what I'm trying to get you to grab hold of. It isn't even a question of God. It isn't about God. It's about us, God, us knowing God and honoring God. So therefore, in the light, 2 Corinthians 11. And in 2 Corinthians 11, picking up if I may, and you'll catch it. Verse 3, 2 Corinthians 11, 3. But I fear, what is it that we need to be aware of? But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he that cometh preacheth another God, Jesus, whom you have not preached, or you have received another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, we might well bear with you. In other words, there's all kinds of everything going on, and you lose it, because that we're in a world of darkness. The world loves darkness. Oh, I forgot. I know you told me these do something, so I forgot them. What can I tell you? Watch. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind in God's wonderful, wonderful grace and kindness, so God, you're going to go and help us to believe. Therefore, if you would, over to Hebrews. Now, so all of it's there. Now, God, we got to lock it in. In Hebrews chapter 11. Now remember, we shared together a week or two ago. We went all the way back to Adam and Eve, to Moses, to Abraham. And as you turn the pages of history, as you look at God's unfolding God's word, what do you find? Every time, God's the centerpiece. Abraham walked before God. Noah walked before God. Doesn't say any, always the little word G-O-D, God. And you have to honor his name as we should. In fact, hold your finger here and go with me over to Deuteronomy. And we'll lock that in, Deuteronomy, and in chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, God. Remember, I'll turn in there in Isaiah, thou shalt not pollute my name. I will never let my name be polluted. My name, as we shared in Sunday school. My name, singular. Matthew 28, 19. My name, baptized in my name, singular. The Father, the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's my name. It isn't Allah. It isn't some vision of you, what you think. My name, I want you to honor who I am. I am the triune God. And that's who you want to understand and honor you. God, the Father sent the Son to die to make possible the relationship by he bearing our sin in his own body of the tree. The Spirit of God's ministry is to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, not himself, to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ might honor the Father, that you might understand the Trinity. God is God. Honor me for who I am. Deuteronomy chapter 6, as you know, verse 4. The word hear, Shema, command. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, singular, proper noun. The Lord, our God, Elohim. That's in the beginning, God, Elohim. The Father, plural. Hear, the Lord, our Elohim, is one, cardinal number, only one, not an ordinal, cardinal number. Well, you're just one. The Lord our God is one Lord, just one. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that's my name, that's who I am. And he gives it to us, so we know. So God, we need to understand and honor you for who you are. Hey, you. No, I didn't say, hey, you. I said that to give you the idea. We don't talk to God like that. We know him. My Father, my Lord, Spirit of God. I recognizing God's awesome presence. When you get saved by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ in order that what? That you might be able to say, Abba, Father, a unique relationship. And how so? By the Spirit of God, who's crying, Galatians 4, in your heart, Abba, Father, present tense. He's crying it. He isn't doing it for himself. To understand the relationship to God is it's an awesome thing. Therefore, Hebrews and chapter 11. And in Hebrews chapter 11, picking up, please, if I can, right where you are there. Verse 6. Verse 6. But without faith, that to be persuaded. The word faith and believe are from the same bucket. Same. Faith, believe. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Why? For he that cometh to God must, it is imperative, compulsory, it is imperative, must, believe. Believe what? That he is. That's all. You're in the presence of God. He is. And that he is a rewarder, a payer in full of them that diligently seek him. So therefore, by faith, not by means of sight, by faith, apart from faith, it's impossible to please him. And you think of all the wonderful ways you'd read it. It's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible. That means it's impossible. Impossible means, can anyone be saved? They said, it's impossible to be saved. God said, that's true. What man cannot do, I can do. I can do it. How can you do it? I'm going to go and make it possible. I'm going to die on the cross and make it possible for them to know me and enjoy me. That's what it's about. Now, so therefore, God, it's impossible to please him. And the reason, because if you're going to come to God, you must believe, must, needs, necessary, that you believe that he is, present tense. He's the rewarder of them to search him out, to look for him, to trust him with all your heart. Now, having said that, chapter 11, and verse 1. Now faith, chapter 11, the faith chapter. Chapter 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. Now faith, if you would. Now faith is the substance, faith, the body of truth that is to be believed. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, the word substance, is to stand under, to support a foundation. Faith is the foundation, is the substance, is that which supports, which gives assurance, which gives confidence. Faith, God, faith, is the substance of things hoped for. Evidence, the evidence is faith. And you know all these things we've said a thousand times. Your faith. You have faith in the pew. You don't make the pew. You sit in the pew. And because you have faith, your faith. I know the pew is a pew because of your faith. As you sit there, I know the pew is able to hold you. How do I know that? Because of your faith. Jeanette, here's Jeanette. Jeanette's there. Jeanette's my wife. I don't have a lot of wives. I just have Jeanette. She's my wife. How do you know she's my wife? Because she cooks for me. By faith. By faith. By faith. You put the key in the ignition. By faith. And you assume your car will start. By faith. It's the underlying. We have faith in God's word. And we're resting on God's word. By faith. And we're reading it. By faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And we're saying it. So we're saying it. Right, what are you saying? You believe that he is. I believe that he is. You believe that he is. And my belief and your belief, we're showing what? That God is. We're showing Hebrews 11:6 without faith. Who's showing it? We are. We believe he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek. My faith evidences, that's the word. Faith is the substance, the underlying, the foundation of things hoped for, the evidence, the proof, the demonstration, the argument, the convincing argument of things not seen by faith. That's how you did it. How did you do it? I believed. How do you think people, Benjamin Franklin, going back, kite and electricity, all that stuff. How do you think they did anything? They didn't see a telephone line for all electric. They didn't have a picture book to look at. They didn't have an encyclopedia. They conceived something of the stars, of just science, nuclear fusion. What's an atom? Splitting an atom. Splitting an atom. How many atoms do you see? You could see right through your hand if I could open it up enough, because it's all full of cells, bunch of cells, but they're all stuck together, but they really aren't stuck together. But you use your hand, don't you? And you believe it. The people that know all this stuff, that understand it, they know it because they believed, and they design and create and do all kinds of things by faith. But they believed. We don't believe. We only believe the result, the key in the car. The fellow that designed that, he had it in his head. He had what he was going to design. He had what he was going to build. It isn't there to see. It's there by faith. By faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So our responsibility is to believe God's wonderful, wonderful person in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And God, you know, without turning there in Romans 1, 20 and 21, that when they knew God, God gave them, Romans 1, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, God introduced himself to the little boy or girl that was born. And the little boy or girl would know God. And if I lived in the middle of the Sahara, in Australia or someplace, and my parents worship kangaroos or something, and I know that, what? I would know as a little boy. I would know that kangaroo isn't God. What a dumb thing it is to worship a kangaroo as God, because I know God. it isn't you, that kangaroo. No, no. But they're going to influence me. And I lean away from that which I have known, which I know, over to here. And pretty soon, I'm worshiping the kangaroo. Pretty soon, I'm doing the same dumb thing they did. I'm following the same thing. I'm guilty. They are without excuse. Romans 1 and 20. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, go over with me, please, Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. And it's going to be repeated three times in the New Testament, but and in Isaiah, and in chapter 6, picking up, if I may. And you remember God telling Isaiah, and telling Isaiah that all that's going to be is not going to be like you think it is. It's not going to come out very good. And Isaiah, your ministry is going to be tough. It's a tough road you're going to go down. And therefore, chapter 6 and verse 9. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Take the heart of this people fat and make their ears heavy. Give them a whole lot of information that's true, and they'll reject it. Like how Pharaoh, how did your heart get harder and harder? Because God kept saying, by way of Moses, let my people go. And every time he said it, Pharaoh said no. And the heart got harder and harder and harder. Therefore, I'm going to tell my people to be saved. And instead of getting convicted and convinced, they're going to get harder and harder. And that's why you're going to find it. I'll read it then. Make the heart of the people fat. Make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, verse 10, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitants and the houses without man and the land be utterly desolate. And you're going to repeat this in Matthew 13, etc. in Acts. What are you going to say? The reason the heart of people, why aren't people believing in the light of the good news? Because their heart has got harder. The more I tell them, the more they turn it off. And Isaiah, what you faced, Christ's rejection is foolishness, like we did in Sunday, the foolishness of preaching is to them that is to the foolishness of, is preaching. The foolishness of preaching belongs to the unsaved heart. But the power of God's wonderful saving grace belongs to God. Now, therefore, having said that, all of that, it's all going to go downhill. So therefore, Acts chapter 17, how far is it going to go downhill? And in Acts chapter 17, as you would recall, the city of Athens, they have all kinds of religion. Chapter 17, verse 23, Acts 17, 23. For I passed by, and behold your devotions, all kinds of idols. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, because you didn't know. You tried to have something for every God, but you didn't know this God. Whom therefore you ignorantly worshipped, him declare I unto you, sliding down. Read verse 26, context. And hath made me, 18:26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men put to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, where they live, what part of the world. That, Why did you scatter them, Genesis 11? That they should seek the Lord. If haply, haply, indeed, 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 little word indeed. If you seek the Lord, if happily, they might feel to grope after, like hand groping after him, then find him, though he be not far from every one of us, a blind man in a dark room. I can't see, but you can feel your way along. Even if you do that, if you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. Even if you're way out. No one ever told me the Bible. I never read this. I never thought about it. I don't think about it. No one thinks like that. Blind. If you look for me, I'm waiting to be found. Romans 1, Romans 10. How far away am I? I'm right in front of you. I'm right in front of you. How far do we have to go, God? You don't. You don't. Romans chapter 10. And you will note. Romans 10. Picking up, please. And I begin. Verse 7. Well, let's get the context in the light of Deuteronomy. Romans chapter 10, verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh in this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. We don't have to go up. How are we going to go to heaven and get you, God? You don't have to go to heaven to get me. Verse 7, or who shall ascend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ from the dead. I don't have to go down below. I don't have to go up. I don't have to go down. Verse 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And here we have an ear to hear and a heart to understand. You can't say I didn't hear it. I'm trying to say it. You say it to me, I say it to you. I say it. How far away is it? It isn't far away. Therefore, verse 9, if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the confession is made unto salvation. Now, hang on to that. Time's gone. But in the process, all of it, tell me what you did to get saved. Tell me what you do, why you're blessed in God's grace. Why is God's gracious to? Why is God gracious to you? Grace means all of God. Why does God have to be everything? Because he's God. That's why. And there is no one else to get credit or anything else. When everything is done, God remains different, unique, in a most awesome, awesome way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, got the idea. You didn't do anything. You didn't do anything to get saved. All you did is believe. And God has done the rest. And you're saved by God's word. These things have I written unto you that you might know. Read them. The gospel. The center of the gospel, piece of the gospel, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The scriptures, the subject of the scriptures, is the word of God, the good news. Now, believe. You aren't going to do anything. You're just going to believe me. That's what you're going to do. Now, tie that together. Oh, if you would, in closing. over to 2 Corinthians. And in chapter 2 Corinthians, and in chapter 13. And actually, we can go a little lower if you understood the thing. If we slow down tonight, we should be able to go a little longer this morning. What can I tell you? I'm just kidding. But 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. A simple, in the light of the context. Here's 2 Corinthians. Paul has written 1 Corinthians a year. 2 Corinthians, another year goes by. 2 Corinthians. And the Corinthians got to get their act right in enjoying their relationship to Christ. And thus, the Spirit of God coming to the end of banging away at the Corinthians in southern Greece, Corinth in southern Greece. Verse 5. Examine yourself. Examine. Put yourself to the test. Yourself. Whether you be in the faith, the body of truth to be believed. They're reading it. These things have I written. The Bible. What is to be believed? God's word. Why? Because all the Bible is about me, said God. It's about me. You want to know me? That's why I gave you my word. Therefore, examine, put yourself on trial to the proof, whether you be in the body of truth. Are you resting on what God said? Not what you said, not what I said. What did God say? What did God do to help you understand what he said? He meant what he said. He says what he means. Therefore, faith, prove, put yourself to the test. It doesn't say put God to the test. God doesn't have to be tested. God doesn't have to be proven. God doesn't have to do anything. Us humans need to believe and let him be God because that's who he is. So it isn't about test God. You don't test God. Test your own heart. Calibrate. How are you going to weigh anything if your own scale is off base? How do you weigh the good guy and the bad guy when your own scale isn't even right? So therefore, we aren't trying to test God. No, God said it's you, your little old heart. What am I going to do? How did I get you in my little old heart? I believed your word. What did you do? I just believed. I opened a door and you came in. That's what you did, God. And you saved me. I don't even understand it, God. But it's real. It's real to you. It cost you your son. And you already made the pronouncement 10,000 times over that all these things have to happen and all of the truth that God has given us is for real. So therefore, in verse 5, prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you? There. That's the test. What we started with. Jesus Christ is worthy. He calibrates. If you take God and receive him as your Savior, I have a scale to calibrate, if I could use it. God, Christ in the heart, tells me whether anything else is true or false. He's the standard. And if it doesn't, what I'm hearing, what I'm doing, my old sin nature, I'm not trusting. If it says something to me to doubt, to worry, to fear, to fret, no. I weigh it against the standard. Jesus Christ in you. God, G-O-D, in your heart. That's why. God. You have to bring it up against God in me. God in you. He's the standard. If I don't have him as a standard, I can be all over the place. And I could say one day, I say one thing, another day, oh yeah, I'm faithful, I'm not faithful. No. No, gotta get that. Gotta get that in your head and heart. And accept the end, verse 5. Except you be reprobate. In other words, we put you in the metal of the furnace to refine the metal, and all we find is dross. You don't find any good thing. I tested your heart, said God. Where am I? Where am I? You see, you get the idea? That's what Christmas is about. Christmas, you put Christ in your heart. You received him as your Savior. Not just Christ, God. In his awesome person. That's what you did. I'm not going to get any more of God, neither are you if you're saved. I just need to get in the place where I can exercise the relationship to learn it. Do you know when you were little, when you were little, you didn't know very much about the world. You didn't know much about your parents even. You didn't know much about them. You didn't. You see them come into the room and out, that's it. What do you do? That's all you did. You have to grow up. And the more you grow up, the more you relate. When you're saved, you got to grow up. And you get more and more and more and more. And that's what we're doing. I got to get it. I got to grow. I got to know. I can't know if I don't grow. And if I grow, I will know. So God, you got to help us. Help us in every way. Test yourself. Don't test God. See if you're really saved, he said. That's the test. Make sure you're calibrated. You've got the standard in your heart. God is the standard for right and wrong, saved and unsaved. If any, 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Simple as that. Simple as that. Well, I got to quit. Got the idea? It's a wonderful thing. And it isn't about you, and it isn't about me. It's about God. I didn't do a thing. All I did is let my awesome Creator save me. That's all you did. That's all you did. And now you're looking to God to have it outworked in your life. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and your kindness. Give safety, encouragement in every way, and help us, God. Take care of the day, the hour that lies ahead. And Father, your will and your way, your honor, your glory. That's what it's about. So God, here we are. Thank you very much for loving, caring, just your patience. Thanks a lot, God. Yeah, Spirit of God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Christ's name.